I'm sorry about the confusion. There was a problem with the internet, but I think we'll go ahead now. We'll continue our study with Psalm 22. We are in Psalm 22 verses 22 to 31. Let me read to you Psalm 22 verses 22 to 31. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I'll perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Now we continue our study in the book of Psalms. In our regular study, we have reached Psalm 22, and we have said that Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 form a group of three related psalms, a trilogy. And the theme of these three psalms is Christ the Shepherd. Christ the Shepherd. In Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd dies for the sheep. And the New Testament parallel passages in John chapter 10 verses 14 to 18, where Jesus tells us that he lays down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd lives for the sheep and cares for the sheep. And the New Testament parallel passage is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21. Then in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd returns in glory to reward his sheep for their service. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 is the New Testament parallel. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now we said that in this psalm, David actually prophetically speaks about the death and resurrection of the Messiah. And the first part of the psalm, Psalm 22, that is verses 1 to 21, focuses on prayer and suffering and gives us a vivid picture of the cross. And we have looked into that part of the psalm. The second part of the psalm, Psalm 22 verses 22 to 31, announces the resurrection and expresses praise to the glory of God. And this is our text for study today. Psalm 22 verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Praise God. Such beautiful songs we heard. Praise and worship songs. Christine and Kesia, thank you so much. Psalm 22 verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And that's what we do when we gather together for worship and praise and worship. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Psalm 22 verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. Psalm 22 verse 25. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. Psalm 22 verse 26. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Now in Psalm 22 verses 1 to 21, we see Jesus enduring the cross. But in the rest of the psalm, we see him entering the joy that was set before him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 we read, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So he is our great high priest in heaven today, and he is able to keep us from stumbling. And he is able to present us faultless. He will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 1, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, we read that Jesus prayed to be delivered out of death. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Now the writer of Hebrews is actually focusing on the experience of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26 verses 38 to 39, Matthew 26, 38 to 39, then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Again in Matthew 26, verses 42 to 44. Again for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. So as Jesus faced the cross, it was not the physical suffering that burdened him. It was the fact that he would be made sin and separated from his Father. That was what burdened him. Other servants of God have faced death and not expressed such great emotion. But no other servant ever bore on his body the sins of the whole world except Jesus. In his Gethsemane prayer, Jesus did not oppose the Father. He prayed in Luke 22 verse 42, we read, Luke 22, 42, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So he was not praying to be spared from death, but he was praying to be saved out of death. He was praying for resurrection from the dead, and God answered that prayer. In fact, Jesus had prophesied his own death. In Luke 18 verses 31 to 33 we read, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" He had made it clear that he was laying down his life out of his own free will. He was laying down his life. John 10 verses 17 to 18. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This links up with the quotations from Psalm 2 and verse 7, which is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5, that promised his resurrection from the dead. Psalm 2 and verse 7, "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5 says, Hebrews 5 verse 5, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" The writer of Hebrews states that Jesus' prayer was heard. Hebrews 5 verse 7, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." That means his prayer was answered by the Father. Because he did die on the cross, he was not praying that the Father would spare him from death. If the Father had answered, the Son would not have been crucified.
So what was he praying for? He did not pray to be saved from death, but to be saved out of death. And God answered his prayer. How? By raising him from the dead. No one else has ever died the kind of death that Jesus died. Many people have been crucified, but Jesus was the only one who was made sin for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning, he becomes our sin bearer. He became our sin bearer on the cross. He bore the penalty of our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Men have died because of their own sins, but only Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And he experienced the ultimate in suffering. And therefore, he is able to have compassion upon us, for his people, when we are suffering. Now, Jesus sang a Passover hymn before he went to the cross. He sang a Passover hymn before he went to the cross. And that hymn was most likely from the Psalms, because the Psalms were sung. Remember, the Jews sang the Psalms. The Psalms were the hymn book of the Jews. So in Matthew 26 verse 30 we read, Matthew 26 verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Mark 14 verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. According to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12, the risen Christ praised God in the midst of his people after his resurrection. Hebrews 2 verse 12, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Psalm 22 verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. So could Psalm 22 be the hymn of praise that he sang? It could likely be. Now don't forget that he is amidst us when we gather in his name. Don't forget that. And that's why worship is so important. That is why we gather together. Because when we gather together, even on a platform like this, whether it be through Zoom or meeting together in a hall, when we gather together in his name like this, he is amidst us. Matthew 18 verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So don't neglect the fellowship of God's people. Don't ever neglect the gathering together in his name. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If we neglect fellowship, if we neglect gathering together, we will lose out on experiencing the manifest presence of God amidst his people. You see, whether it be on the Zoom platform or whether, as I said, we gather together in a hall, wherever or whichever means by which we gather together, this one thing is very clear. His manifest presence is amidst us. So don't neglect that gathering together. Don't neglect the fellowship. And it says here in Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now in this song, Psalm 22, from verse 22 following, from verse 22 onwards, the Lord deals with the expanding outreach of the atoning work, the finished work that he did on the cross. John 3:16, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That whoever believes. So in Psalm 22 from verse 22 onwards, we see how the Lord deals with the expanding outreach of this finished work on the cross, so that whoever, people all over the world, would come to know this truth and believe. Psalm 22 verses 22 to 25 speaks about the great assembly, the body of Christ, the church of God that he's building all over the world. Psalm 22 verses 22 to 25. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise. In the great congregation, my vows I'll perform before those who fear him. Now there is no evidence in the Bible that Jesus appeared to any unbeliever in the days immediately after his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 7 we read, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. So the assembly or the great congregation that is mentioned in Psalm 22 were the people who believed in Jesus, who then became a part of the church when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And the church is made up of both believing Jews and Gentiles who form the one body in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 to 13. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. So this song included both Jew and Gentile believers. The song mentions offspring of Jacob. Remember in verse 23 in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 verse 23. The offspring of Jacob. The first Christians were Jews, offspring of Jacob. But then the gospel moved to the Gentiles through Peter to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. All Gentiles in the church are by faith the children of Abraham. Galatians 3 verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now God did not despise his son in whom he is well pleased. Psalm 22 verse 24 says, For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. God the Father accepted the finished work of his son Jesus Christ on the cross and proved that acceptance by raising him from the dead. Romans chapter 4 verse 24 and 25. But for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Next we find in the song Psalm 22. Psalm 22 expands from the finished work of the cross into the glorious kingdom. Psalm 22 verses 26 to 29. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Now the image in these verses is that of a feast. This is a familiar picture to the Jews. The Jews who anticipated the Messianic kingdom, this image of a feast is very familiar. Isaiah 25 verses 6 to 9. Isaiah 25 verses 6 to 9. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 11. Matthew 8 verse 11. Jesus says, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You see him speaking of the feast. Luke 14 verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. When a Jewish worshipper brought a peace offering to the Lord, he retained part of it for a feast for himself and his family and friends. And you see that in Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3 speaks of the laws of peace offerings. And in Leviticus chapter 7 verse 15 we see how the person who brings the peace offering, he keeps a portion of it for his family. Leviticus 7:15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And this tradition became a picture of the glorious kingdom, the feast in the glorious kingdom. Believing Gentiles will also be included in this feast. Psalm 22 verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. God promised Abraham that his descendants would bring blessing to the whole world. That includes all the Gentiles. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now this has been fulfilled when Christ came and died for the world. But when he comes again, it will have a glorious fulfillment in the establishing of his glorious kingdom. Both the poor and the prosperous will submit to him. Psalm 22 verse 29. Psalm 22 verse 29. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Rich and poor will submit to him. Now Orthodox Jews close their religious services by quoting Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9. Zechariah 14 verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord with one name. And that is from the Jewish Publication Society translation. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord with one name. That's how the Orthodox Jews close their religious service. Finally, the song expands. It expands to the generations to come. In Psalm 22 verse 30 and 31, posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. The blessings of the atonement and the kingdom will not be temporary. It will be perpetual from one generation to another generation and also to Gentile believers. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let me read from the King James Version, Psalm 22 verse 30 and 31. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Three generations are listed here. A seed, Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Number two, there is a second generation or a coming generation. Psalm 22 verse 30 says, in ESV it says coming generation. And then number three, there is a people yet unborn. Psalm 22 verse 31. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn that he has done it. So Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see how the kingdom expands. All because of the finished work that Jesus did for us on the cross. But the real emphasis in Psalm 22 is not what God's children have done. The emphasis is on the fact that it is the Lord who does it. Psalm 22 verse 31. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Now on the cross, Jesus cried out. He cried out on the cross, it is finished. In John 19 verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You see, no one could take his life from him. No one could take his life from him. Remember last Sunday when Brother Raj spoke, he spoke about the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth was unique. In fact, he said his birth was a miracle. His life was a miracle. His death was a miracle. You see, he gave up his spirit. His death was a miracle. Nobody could take his life from him. And of course, his resurrection is a miracle. And he is now seated in heaven doing miracles. People all over the world are coming to know Christ. The greatest miracle, the miracle of salvation. He laid down his life to give us eternal salvation. No one could take his life from him. He is the author of life. He laid down his life to give us eternal salvation. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Acts chapter 3 verse 15, it says, Acts 3 verse 15, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. John 10 verses 17 to 18, we read these verses earlier, I read it again. For this reason, John 10, 17 to 18, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, we read, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our salvation, and he has done it. So let us bow before his throne of grace in worship and praise. To him alone be all glory. Hallelujah. God bless.